difference between everything in nitzchias, an eternal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a non-connection, which is a tremendous difference. One usually thinks the difference is Noach was not able to get the message out. Even though Noach himself, the Torah says, was a tzaddik tamim, but in fact, he could not impact on the world. The only people in his life that he actually had any effect were the eight people who went in with him into the teva. Whereas Avraham Avinu, the Torah tells in this week's Parsha Nefesh, Asher Osu Bechoron, that Noah, that Avraham Avinu took the world out of the first 2,000 years of tohu, of emptiness. The Gemara says that the 2,000 years of emptiness ended with the Pasuk HaNefesh Asher Osu Bechoron. All the people that Avraham Avinu brought under and connected to the Torah. That's what we would generally say. And therefore Avraham got the message out, and Noah didn't get the message out. The only thing, when we begin looking at the Rishonim, for the most part, that's not the way they understand the sentences. Rashi points out in last week's Parsha that regarding Noach, the Torah says, Esho Elokim Hishalech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem. Rashi says Noach needed support. Noach was needed tzad l'tomcho. He needed support from Hashem. But Avraham had his own sense of strength, and he went on his own volition. And therefore it was his halach l'fonai, and Noach was esel l'kim, which means Rashi's now already telling us that it's not that they were both the same, except that Avraham got the message out and Noach didn't. Rashi's telling us that Avraham and Noach had a different kind of personal avoda. Avraham was, whatever his level was, he was able to be a self-starter, his own initiative, whereas Noach needed to be supported by Kodesh Baruch Hu, which means we're talking about now not a difference only in the getting the message out, but the internal message of difference. The Targum also says the same thing. On Esol Elokim Hishalech Noach, the Targum translates B'dachalta D'Hashem, in the fear that Noach had a relationship of Yiras Hashem. By the way, a great relationship. Tzadik Tumim. He was completely and perfectly righteous. In this week's Parsha, on the words Hishalech Lefonai, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Aleph, there the Targum Kamat, the exact same words, translates it different. He translates it, Hisalach Lefonai, Plach Kadamai, do service. So instead of talking about Yiras Hashem, he's talking maybe Avas Hashem, he's talking about serving Hashem, not just fear of Hashem. So again, he's saying that there's a substantive difference between what Avraham did and what Noach did. Furthermore, Rashi in last week's Parsha also indicates this to be true, because Rashi says, according to one opinion, that had Noach lived in the generation of Avraham, lo nechshav l'klum, he would be in relationship to the people in that generation, nothing. If we're only describing an external, that they're both the same, except one was successfully disseminated the message and one didn't, then you can't say it's lo nechshav l'klum. Right, they're exactly the same, except the effect, their impact was totally different. If that's true, then I'd like to understand what is really the significance of the difference, what is really the difference between Avraham and Noach. Another thing that's bothering me is that Avraham got the message out. That's what you start thinking. What do we need Avraham to get the message out? HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a marvel to the world. Is there anybody could think that there's no God? He brought a flood. And the flood was not just a minor flood. A flood was the Talmud tells us, it was a whole shinui of Maisa Bereishis. It was actually almost a whole new creation of everything in the cosmos. So therefore, it's clear that there's a God in heaven. I mean, Noach, and they come out of the Teva, and they have to tell that message. The people in the Teva know. They tell it to their children. And yet, it didn't seem that that message, which was known, made a difference. The Dor HaFloga, they're raging a war against God. The Mabel has literally no effect. That a few years later, someone decides to wage a war against Hashem. And then there's the Dor HaFloga. And Hashem again does an enormous thing. He confuses their language, a miraculous thing. Nobody learns from any of this. How do we understand this? Nobody learns from this? Avram can go out and talk theology, philosophy. There's a God. Proofs. There's a God in heaven. There are proofs. There's objective, empirical proofs. People saw. Everybody got the message. How do we have a whole society not getting, just a whole society not getting the message? Those are some of the overview questions. Let me take a look at this week's Parsha. And we have a question that the Rishonim ask. I'm going to say tonight a new terrace to this question. It's a very compelling question. And that is, Avram Avinu, Melech Sodom offers him, take the money. He says, now, a shoelace I won't take, a string I won't take from you. I'm not going to take anything. Nothing. I want nothing. Lest you say, you made Hashem wealthy. You made Avram wealthy. Hashem promised me wealth. That's what Rashi learned. The same Avram Avinu goes into Egypt, and as they're approaching Egypt, says to his wife, Imri Noachosiat, please go say you're my sister. Leman Yitavli Bavurich, so that Paro will give us presents. The whole story, I'm not going to get into that tonight. I mean, the whole story is unbelievable. A man should use his wife for those purposes. That's not for tonight's discussion. But the fact is, the whole organization is in order to get presents. That's what he says. Not only that, that's his first and highest priority, more than saving his life. L'man yitav li bavurech. And then he only finishes v'choysa nafshi biglolech. But his main objective is presents. This is the man that says, I won't take a string from you. How do we reconcile that? That's not my kasha. The Gurariyah's kasha. Many, many ask that question. Another thing that's bothering me, the whole idea of getting presents, it's clear from Chazal over here. Ramban says a little different lashon, but it's clear from the Midrashim here. Whatever the language is, but one thing is clear. This is a foreshadowing of Jewish history. Whether that foreshadowing is called Maisa of the Simon Labonim, which is generally understood the way the Ramban says it, has nothing to do with that. It's called Say the Kvosha Derech Lefnei Banecha. Different thing, but this is foreshadowing Jewish history. What is he trying to foreshadow? We're going to get money? What's the... Is it doubt? I mean, Hashem said, your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years. And afterwards, v'gama sagoy asher yavodu don onoichi, I will punish them. V'achrei chen yetzu b'chush gadol, and you'll go with great wealth. Obviously, the punishing, he didn't do anything to assure or foreshadow the punishment, because of course he's going to punish them. Why? What's the shaila? He's not going to punish them? Of course he's going to punish them. Avram doesn't have to do anything. The goyim are going to be punished. So what, he has to foreshadow the money? What, the money is some kind of bonus? The money is the schar of our work. The Gemara says clearly in Sanhedrin, the money is for our work. So just like they're going to get punished for their enslaving us, they're going to have to pay for what they owe us. They're going to pay. So what does Avram need to go ahead and insure this for? That's part of Hashem's punishment against them. It's more than a punishment. This is a legal obligation to the Yidden. So of course it's going to happen. If we're enslaved, we're going to get compensated for it. What do we need this whole? And the whole story of Mitzrayim is exactly for that. The whole story of Mitzrayim is for Tzei Kvosh HaDerech Lefnei Bonecha, to go ahead and foreshadow the age of 70. Avraham Avinu was given the Bris Bein Hapsarim, so the message of what the future of the Jewish people would be, he was told. And now that he's 75, he's doing certain things to make sure that happens. There's no reason, one would think, there's literally no reason that he should have to guarantee we're going to get paid. If they're going to be punished, we're going to get paid. It's much more, that's a more basic premise, to pay somebody what you owe. And by the way, the way we know that for sure, because even here the language is Imri no achosia, please say, which is exactly the Lushan in Egypt, Daber no b'ozne ha'om, please ask the people for money. It's literally the same language, so it's clear that that's what his objective. The Medrash says anyway here, that's his objective. I'm just saying the words and the sentences, even the Torah, the narrator's using exactly the same word to describe the event later than what Avram's doing now. These are the questions I would like to focus on. As the main question, trying to understand what is the substantive difference between Avram Avinu and Noach. It's clearly not, according to the way the Rishonim learning, just that Avram got the message out and Noach didn't. So what really is the difference? I would like to understand why Avram took money from Sodom, from Mitzrayim and not from Sodom. And what was the need that Avram felt, a compelling need? I mean, to put his wife in the situation, for what purpose? We'll get paid. Hashem will surely do that. He's going to punish them. He's going to surely make sure they give adequate compensation. In order to understand this, I'd like to begin with a kasha from last week's parsha to set the whole thing in perspective. We're trying to understand why didn't the world get the message? That was the question I left out. Why didn't the world get the message? Well, that question is even a little bit more difficult. When you take a look at Perek Yud Aleph, the Torah tells us everybody was united in one language, and they had a plan. They traveled from the east, they found a valley, settled there, and then all of a sudden the Torah begins telling us, you know what, we're going to go ahead and make bricks. And the Torah describes how bricks are made. Nothing about any plans, what you need bricks for. All of a sudden, the Torah introduces a statement of how bricks are made. People now said this is the way bricks are made. After the Torah says how bricks are made, the Torah then says they now have a plan, let's go build a tower. So that itself is very funny. What do we need? The Torah doesn't have to tell us how to make a brick. The people build a tower. What's the reason for a tower? So Rashi says, and the Gemara says, that either we'll go up to a certain height, we'll go beyond the field of gravity, we'll become weightless, we'll be able to fly to heaven. That's what Bionis and Ibsitz wrote 200 and almost 300 years ago, 250 years ago. Others learned to be a missile. The simple pshat is that they're going to build a top, like the Gemara says, on the top of this tower, there's going to be an idol, a picture of man shooting an arrow to Hashem. So some kind of symbol of a war or resentment or rebellion of mankind against Hashem. Then the Torah says like this. Hashem came down to see the city and the tower. Judge comes down, Rashi says, what is this about a city? What do we need a city for over here? What do we need a city? There's a tower. They all came together, however it is, and now they built a tower. What is this thing that all of a sudden they're making a city? Where did city come in over here? Their plan was, let us build a tower. No. Havu nivne lanu iru migdol. They don't need a city. The idea is to build a tower, and whatever you're going to do, the tower, you're going to, whatever you're going to do from the top of the tower. But what do you need a city for? And when Hashem comes down, what's he seeing? What's he judging? The city and the tower. What is the city? What did they need a city for? They're trying to get up to heaven. You don't need a city. They're here. You start building a tower. And number two, Hashem's coming down. He's coming down. He's judging the city. What does the city have to do with anything? So some simple pshat, just as I said, this, I'm just doing this to set the tone here. Do we understand clearly what's happening? What's happening is like this. The Dor HaFloga wants to keep Hashem out of their lives. They want Hashem to back, leave us alone. Leave us alone. They don't think they're going to destroy God. No sense to that. But they want to send a message. Leave us alone. Like a child, very often, can't beat up his parent. You hit your mother, a little child. Just leave me alone. Or you verbally attack it. Just leave me alone. That's what they want. It's very hard to go ahead and all of a sudden say, Hashem, leave me alone. You're living in my house. Leave me alone. I'm living in my house and you're a guest in someone's house. Leave me alone. You get out of the house. I'm the boss here. What do you mean, leave me alone? Terry says, he said like this, until now, all the building materials were made out of stone. That means when a person built a house, he took stones from the quarry and built a house. So when you looked at your house, you saw that this was God-made materials. If you're God-made materials, then you're talking about living in God's world. There's no way anybody can say, God, get out of the world when I'm living in his house. So the Torah, first of all, tells us, before anything, we got to change the technology here. What we got to do is make bricks. Bricks is something that man makes. Bricks is a product of our intelligence, of our brains, what we create. It's our world. Now we're changing building materials. Building materials are now going to be made from bricks. They're made from bricks, then the world has an appearance of a man world. We're going to do another thing. We're going to change the economy. Until now, the economy is farms. Farm. We're going to change that. We're going to have a city. It's going to be a commerce-based economy. Difference between a commerce-based economy and a farm economy. Just take a look at America. Middle America, which is a farm-based economy. It's conservative, moral, and all of this all over the world in the places where it's commerce, trade, where man is creating the economic, his economic basis. I'm in charge. If I'm in charge of the world, I'm in charge of the morality also of the world. And it's by changing to a technological society and by changing to a society built on man-made economics, then man has a sense this is his world, not Hashem's world. There's no way that anybody can ask Hashem to get out of Hashem's house. But if I can change the way, the perception of how the world looks and how we deal in the world, and it's my world, you look around, they're all man-made homes. There's all man-made material. This car sitting in front of that. That's our world. Economy. The farmer is a religious person, nature. A person who's in business. It's not that way. The city, you're talking about commerce. You're talking about the trade. You're not talking about maybe even some industry. You're not talking about an economy that's coming from the ground where you sense you're getting it from rain. You're getting it because you're smart. You're industrious. You have initiative, and therefore it's your world. What the Dor HaFloga knew, in order for them to carry out any kind of war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what they have to do is change the perception of they're not living in Hashem's world, we're living in man's world. And you know what? They did that. They actually did that. And that's created enormous problems. What is the answer to that? The truth of the matter is, we today for sure. But after the Dor HaPlugah, this is an ongoing truth. And if it's an ongoing, right, even in Mitzrayim, the Chomer Bilveinim, they also used bricks for building. So this became a technological change. Okay, so now what's the answer? If this is our world, it becomes very, very difficult for anybody. How is a person who in his everyday life and in the reality of his existence feel that it's his world, how do you reconcile that with being a Shomer Mitzvah? It's a very difficult thing. You know, it's in the reality, in the tangible things I see every day, and the things I deal with on an ongoing basis, it's my world, my ideas. The whole society is koichi v'otzim yodi. What is the answer to that? How are we supposed to deal? That is the problem. What changed after the Dor HaPlugah? After the new technological and economic changes, the world now has a real dilemma. How does a person reconcile living in that world with the Zion mitzvahs? I want to say, obviously, we'll see what the answer is, but one thing for sure, it has to be that you just can't have the message of Zion mitzvahs alone is not going to be enough. The Noach message isn't enough. We saw from the Rishonim, Avram has a different message than Noach. Not that Avram got the message out. Avram has a different message. I'm now giving the backdrop why it's absolutely imperative that Avram had to have a different message. Because in a world where it's in a farm world, and everybody's an Oyver Adoma, and everybody is living off the land, okay, there it's not all that hard to observe Zion mitzvahs. But if we're talking about an economy based on man's initiative, and if we're talking about technology, then it's very difficult. How can anybody actually extricate themselves and really feel comfortable that they're oyve Hashem? They're not living in His house. There's not a feeling. Hashem is not giving us the message we're living in His house. Hashem is giving us the message that we're creating our own house. He gives us the brain power, the creativity to make that. So now how do we answer that? Are we supposed to go back? Is that what we're supposed to do? Are we supposed to go back like the Amish? No, we got an answer. Everybody back to farms, get rid of all modern technology, move to become the Pennsylvania Deutsch. And, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to go back, and you have to go back a few hundred years and don't use metal, don't use any, you know, use as much primitive material as possible. Go back to farming, and then you'll be able to be. That might work. It may work for them, and maybe it probably would work for all of us if everybody did that. But that's a huge reduction in the Matonis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. All this technology is Chochmas Hashem. In fact, the Zohar says in last week's parsha, in the Pasuk of Niftachu Mayonis at home, when the Hashem unleashed all the waters, the Zohar says that is also a symbol. In fact, for the 19th century, it was also unleashing Chochmah. It was a foreshadows towards the end of the Elif Hashishis, all the foreshadowing of the unleashing of Chochmah, because in this new world, it's Chochmah. Man's technology is what creates the reality. No, so then what are we supposed to do? I say we can go back hundreds of years, but that's not what the Torah wants us to do. Comes along Avram Avinu. What is Avram's message for the world? I'm sure they could think it. Avram took money from Melech Sodom, from Pyro, and didn't want to take from Sodom. What's the difference? There's a fascinating Rashi in Parshas Chayasor that it sounds, Rashi's coming sounds from nowhere. In fact, if I would tell you it's not Rashi, you would say it doesn't make any sense. Avram Avinu and Ephron are negotiating the sale of Moras HaMachpelah. Sale, purchase, present, whatever they're doing. Finally, Ephron says, Adoni, Shmoyni. Eretz Arba Meir Shekel Kesef Beini Ubein Mahi. What is this? What is this? This is nothing. I think we all learn pshat. You're a rich guy. I'm a rich guy. What are we going to start dickering on price? Come on, this is a little money for us. We're multimillionaires. It doesn't mean anything. That's the simple reading of the pasuk. That's not the way Rashi. Rashi learns something that's Adonai Shmoyni Eretz Arba Meir Shekel Kesef Beini Ubein Mahi Ben Shnei Oyavim Kimono. Like two guys that love each other. Where does Rashi get the idea that Ephron could be so presumptuous as to, on a man he just met today, for the first time, that not only that Avram needed an introduction to me, to figurely the Ephron ben Sochar, that all of a sudden, we love each other. Meanwhile, we're involved here in negotiations, arm length transaction, each one arguing with the other. And Ephron all of a sudden is presumptuous. Listen, we love each other. What difference does it make? What money is unimportant? We're talking about love here, not money. Oh, that's stupid. I mean, it sounds stupid when the Torah has to quote all the stupidities of people. And besides, why is Rashi reading the pasuk like that? The pasuk simple pshat is, I'm fabulously wealthy. You know, Bill Gates and someone else are going to have over a difference of $50,000. That's not money to them. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. You're Nasi Elokim, and I'm a dignitary here. This is Klein Geld over here. What are we going to start dickering over price? Shnei Oyavim. Say pshat like this. The Gemara tells in Kiddushin, the Gemara tells us that for Pidyon HaBen, you need something, you have to give 5 shkolim to the Kohen. Or either money, or an object worth 5 shkolim. The Gemara says, what about if the object's not worth 5 shkolim? If I give you a book, it only is worth 2 shkolim. I give you a calf, it's worth 2 shkolim. It's not podui. It's not worth it. But what about if the Kohen says, you know what? This book or this hat, which is worth 2 shkolim, to me is worth 5 shkolim. The Gemara says, b'no podui. The Kohen says, listen, to me it's worth 5 shkolim, b'no podui. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kahana, Hani Mili, Gavra Rabba. That's only for Gavra Rabba who says that if it's, to me it's worth 5, it's worth 5. But to anybody else, he can't say to him it's worth 5. It has to actually have a market value of 5. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that a person is talking about a hat over there, and somebody really, a Gavra Rabba needs a black hat, he can't go out without a black hat. So to him, even though it's worth 2 shkolim, to him it's worth 5. But that's not the way the Rashba says. The Rashba says a fascinating psychological thing. Gavra Rabba has nothing to do with scholar, Talmud Chacham. Gavra Rabba says, Anoshim Gedoilim, Shadarkam Hisyakir, that there's people who pay more than the market price. There's people who pay more than market price. Very interesting thing. There's people who pay more than market price. And therefore, to a person who's accustomed to paying more than the market price for something, and he says to him it's worth 5, any Kohen that says that who's a Kohen, the kind of person that pays more than the market price for things, you know, you can buy it for 2. He always pays 5. Then he can say it's worth 5 to me, and that will be its value for Pidyon HaBen, and the child will be redeemed. What is he talking about? Anoshim gedolim, people pay more than the market. Were they crazy? That's called a fool. Where I come from, you can buy something for 2. I mean, my father used to say in business, my grandfather used to say in business, for a nickel, guy will walk a mile to save a nickel. And here you're telling me the people, if they know they can buy something for 2, pay 5. That's a shaita. That's my abed kol mashenosim. What? All of a sudden that became an adam choshev. That's a shaita. What's going on over here? What is this idea? I'm going to give a mishundik insight to this tonight, I think. What is this idea that people that pay more than the market price? What is that? That sounds like people that are irresponsible with money. Jews feel that if you pay the market price, you're a fool. If you don't get it wholesale, you're a fool. And now all of a sudden we found out that you're not chashuv unless you pay more than the market price. Not retail, but more than the retail price. Right? It goes against everything that being Jewish has told us. Shots like this. The Gemara tells us in Brochus, there's a very interesting thing in the Gemara. The Gemara says a reality, a psychological reality, that when a person sells something, moicher otsev and loikeach, moicher otsev and loikeach samech, that a person has something and he sells it, there's a sense of regret in selling something. I liked it, I had it, okay, I have a chance to make money, so my feeling for money overweighs the fact that I'm a little reluctant, I'm reluctant to sell. You know, I have a profit, but there's a certain reluctance. Not everything is only measured in money. So when I buy something from you, I go ahead and buy your house. You got your price. God forbid I didn't steal for you. I paid the full market price. But there's still a little reluctance. Meicher Otsev is a reluctance. Not the guy who beat him down and jewed him down and, you know. There's still reluctance. What about if a guy walks into your house, puts down a check for $10 million? You leave the kids too, right? You walk out. The pets stay, right? That's without a Shiloh, right? There's no reluctance in that at all. There's no reluctance. The vort of Darko Lisyaker is now a Mishundika thing. Darko Lisyaker means I always want to pay more than the price. Because if I pay the price, yeah, you're willing to sell it for the price because you've made it a judgment that for the feeling of loss, of sadness, the money will compensate. So therefore, you're willing to sell something for the market price, even though there's a reluctance, but you're making money, and the money overcomes your feeling of loss of the object. But if I give you twice or three times the market price, then there's no reluctance at all. There's no reluctance at all. I do it with a joy. I do it with a joy. What's the psychology of that? Why do I do it with a joy? What am I really accomplishing when I give somebody twice the market price? So now we said like this, and twice the market price, when I give you twice the market price, there's no reluctance, right? That's what I was saying. I knew a person who, this particular example I don't know, but I know other examples, other people might know them, so I don't know if I want to get into it. But this example, let's say, you know, you live in a condo and you pull up your car and it's a guy who takes the car. A guy gives a dollar tip, another guy $2, another guy drops a $50 bill. Every time he'll drop a $50 bill. And he lives in the condo, every time he brings his car in, when a guy expects a dollar and gives him two, he's very happy. But a guy gets 50, he runs. He runs to get 50. He'll run to pick up the car. Now, it's normally, believe me, guys don't like parking cars. It's not a b'chobit to kajab. There's a certain amount of lowering of self-esteem. And for $2, doesn't I feel good? I have to support my family. The guy didn't have to give me more. I mean, a dollar less than that is, you don't look good. But $2, $3, very nice tip. A guy gives you a $50 bill. That's a whole different thing. What's the difference? Difference like this. He understands that you're demeaning yourself by doing it. He doesn't want that you should demean yourself. He wants you to get the feeling that you want to do this. You're happy, looking forward to doing this. If you give a guy $50, you tell him it's like this. The guy parking the car, the valet, he knows that I know that I don't have to give $50. I don't have to give him anything. I'll give him a dollar, he'll park the car. I live in there, and he doesn't park the car, even if I don't tip him. It's not. But if I give him a dollar or two, he knows I know that. So what am I giving him $50? What does he say to himself, what am I giving him $50 for? What does he say to himself? What, he thinks I'm not going to smash it up. When I give him two, I'm also not. What does he say to himself? What he says to himself is like this, that if you give him two, you're paying him for parking the car. If you give him 50, it means I like you. I'm like, you're a nice guy, I like you. You're a friend of mine. Here, you know, I have money. obviously you don't have a lot of money, otherwise you wouldn't be a valet. I like you. I give him the feeling I like him. When he parks my car, he's not parking my car because it's part of his job. He likes me too. It's kederach ohavim. What the Rajb is saying is, paying more, the idea of paying more changes it from a economic transaction into a mutual exchange of gifts. The difference between the two is like this. In every economic exchange, the giver, the loser, I mean the one who's given up the object or giving the service, always does it with some reluctance. He's not happy. No one's happy being a waiter. Nobody's happy being a valet. Nobody's necessarily happy selling something. He's not happy. It was nice to be a balabas. It's a nice feeling. He feels good about it. Money, the exchange, it's worth it. When I give him $50 for the job, it's no longer an economic exchange. It's an exchange of favors. He likes me, and I like him. Therefore, what's the difference? The guy is not taking anything away. The owner of the car is not taking anything away. Normally, I'm taking something. You don't feel good. So I'm taking your good feeling. I'm paying for it. But you're upset. I'm paying for it, but you're upset. So I'm still a taker. I'm taking your good feeling. Moicher otsev. In every economic transaction, there's moicher otsev. If you can increase the amount of money that it's no longer an economic transaction, and it becomes now an exchange of favors, then nobody's a taker. We're both givers. The whole yesod of Darko Hisyaker is we are givers rather than takers. In every economic exchange, there's a taker. Except I have money, so I can afford to take. You feel a little bad. I give you money. I give you money, and that induces you to sell it. Like the Gemara says, it's the pressure. You need money, so you sold it. So there's a pressure. So I took something from you. I don't want to take anything from you. I don't want to be a taker. The only way I cannot be a taker is that you should not feel at all bad in giving. When are you not going to feel bad in giving? When I give you a present. When it's clearly I like you and I'm giving you a present, then you're happy to give me a present back. You could give your, if you decide to give your house as a present, you'll give it by Ayin Yafa. You'll be happy to give your house. A person who gives a present is never by, it's never Meicher Otsev. Meicher, if I sell something, it's Otsev. But if I gave you a present, I'm not sad. I'm happy to give you a present. Paying more, if it's substantially more, changes it from an economic transaction to an exchange of presents. An exchange of presents, there's nobody as a taker. There's only two givers. Now we just explained the psychology of Darkel Hisyaker. Darkel Hisyaker means a person who in all his dealings does not like to be a taker. And he knows if he pays you the price, you had a Kiddush cup, okay, you paid him a good price. You know, it was still nice. It was an heirloom. It was this. Maybe there's a reluctance to part. I give you $100 or $500, something that costs $10. That means I'm telling you I like you. And then you gave me a present. It's not the pshat that I bought your Kiddush cup. You gave me a present. Like I gave you a present. You gave me a present. Like I gave you a present of $50. You did me a favor parking my car. It became a change, not an economic exchange. It became a change. An exchange of gifts. Exchange of gifts is two people are givers rather than a giver and taker. Therefore, that's what the Rajb is saying, that there's people that darkum lishyaker. So it's not that they're fools, they're paying more money. Yeah, it's true. Jews hold that in economic exchange, if you pay the market price, you're a fool. In economic exchange, if you can pay less. But there's a whole different kind of exchange. It's not an economic exchange, it's an exchange of gifts. An exchange of gifts is both people are givers. There's no giver and taker. There's no loser. That's what Rashi is telling us. Now we understand that's what Ephron is saying. Well, we're going to go talk about money over here. where I have him. I want this to be only if you totally want to give it. I mean, obviously, if Avram should have been the one to say that. You know, Ephron is only talking that because Ephron is the one who's trying to get it away. He's trying to get the money from Avram. But we're saying what he's trying to give the family. Listen, this is gifts. I want you to give me a gift, and I'll gift this to you. You give me an outrageous gift, and I'll give you an outrageous gift. That's what he's saying. Kedera ha'ohavim. Not that we love each other, but let's do it like ohavim. Let's not make this an economic transaction. Let's do this kedera ha'ohavim, an exchange of gifts. Exchange of gifts is the way ohavim do things. Economic is a business relationship. So then there's the Chiddush and the Rashba, very interesting Chiddush now pshat in the Gemara, that as far as anything, even though it's not an economic exchange, it can still establish a price. Gabi Pidyon HaBen, even though it's not an economic exchange, but since I give this much for it, so therefore it's a gift, it's a $5 gift. I consider you gave me a $5 gift because I pay $5, so if I pay, so you gave me a $5 gift. The language of the Rashba is on Noshim Gedoylim. Noshim Gedoylim. Nothing to do with people who need hats. Doctrine said, what's the word? The word Godol means, in Hebrew, Hakel HaGodol means Hashem who's a Baal Chesed. Avram Avinu is Odom Godol Banokim, the Pasuk says. And Odom Godol means a person that's a Baal Chesed. Godol means Hakel HaGodol is Chesed, expansive. The Yesod over here of the Parsha is Avram will never ever do anything where it's not going to be an exchange of gifts. Exchange of gifts, that's Kederach HaOhavim, because any economic exchange, I'm not a Baal Chesed, I'm a taker. Avram Avinu is a giver, not a taker. And therefore, Avram Avinu will not take money from Melech Sedom. You know why? Because from Melech Sedom, doesn't give money, you take it from him. And we know that. Who did everything belong to? Avram had taken all the, conquered everything. He had conquered the four kings. Who did all the people belong to? All the captives belongs to Avram. Who does all the money belong to? Avram. Comes along Melech Sedom and says, "Hanefesh titen li, v'rechush kachloch." Hanefesh titen. What do you mean? You want to ask me for the nefesh? What do you mean? Give me orders? The Melech Sedom feels everything is coming to him. He's a taker. He's not a giver. He's taking what is not even his over here. It belongs to Avram. These are spoils of war. The Melech Sedom's property was conquered by the four kings. Comes along Avram, defeats the four kings, and the Melech Sedom is still his property. The Melech Sedom has no feeling everything is coming to him. He's a total taker. He will, from a person that's a taker, Avram will never take any. He won't take a shoelace from a guy who's a taker. Because from a guy who's a taker, he'll say, "Anochi Asharti, everything is really mine. Everything is really mine." And that's really what he holds. Everything is his. But you know what? I'll throw Avram a bone. He's not giving. He says, it's my, the nefesh belong, the people belong to me, which don't. And he's not giving the money to Avram. It's Avram's money. You take the money. It's my money. You tell me to take my money? That's what Avram said. You're telling me to take my money? That's what he's telling him. It's insane. Teretz is, Melech Sedom, everything is his. He's the antithesis of a giver. The absolute antithesis of a giver. In every deal, he only wants to take. He has to take less and he'll steal, which is what Sedom is. It's not a chiddush. He's the king of Sedom. Avram won't take a shoelace from him. Because anytime you get a gift from somebody who's a taker, by him, a gift is also given resentfully and reluctantly. You're taking. Even a gift is not really a gift. A gift means he's just embarrassed into giving the gift. He doesn't want to give the gift either. So if Avram takes a gift from Melech Sedom, he's taking it from Melech Sedom. If he receives a gift, that's called taking. Avram is not a taker. Avram is only a giver. He'll never, ever take. Paro, on the other hand, total different story. Paro, the girls in his country, can do exactly what Avimelech does. He's an absolute dictator. In next week's parsha, Sora is taken by Avimelech. Avimelech doesn't give Avram a penny, doesn't offer him anything. He goes and takes. He goes in there. He sends his messengers. They take the woman. Over here, the king gives to Avram. Why? Because Melech Sodom is also Darkalis Yaker. He doesn't want to be a taker. He makes Avram fabulously wealthy. He doesn't just give him a little gift over there. Avram Kaved Ma'o, the Kesa, the Zol, the Mikna. He's fabulous. He gives him fabulous amounts of money. Because he also doesn't want to be in a position. You did me a favor, you gave me your beautiful sister, as Rashi says, who's Haguna Lamelech, and I'm going to give you 75 camels for it. No, then I'm taking, because maybe you really think, maybe for somebody else you get more, or you really would like her not to be married. I'm going to make you fabulously wealthy, which is, means I'm going to show how much I like you, which is what he does. And then, when Avram, when he takes the sister, it's Kederach Ohavim. It's Kederach Ohavim. He makes it not an economic exchange. He didn't buy Sora. He didn't buy Sora. He made it a exchange of gifts. Leman Yitavli. It's going. To, he's going to give me a matana. Matana. He's going to buy my. It's not a matana. He's buying the my seer. He's buying you. You know, a person gives a dowry. He's buying. You go in. You want to marry my daughter? It's 10 cows or 10 camels. Where's Avram come with the notion? Say you're my sister, and the man he'll give, I won't get present from him. But not Torah doesn't say you'll get money. The Torah says l'man yitavli, which Rashi says is presents. Where presents? Because he understands who Melech Mitzrayim is. Melech Mitzrayim is not going to pay the price for Sora. Melech Mitzrayim is going to pay 50 times the price of Sora. Because Melech Mitzrayim wants to be a giver. And therefore, he doesn't want that there should be any hesitation, no reluctance. This is not a buying. He's not buying a woman. He is giving gifts, and he showed how much he likes Avram, how much, I'm a kor of Lamalchus, I'm close to the king. She's a gona Lamalchus. He made it into an exchange of gifts. Avram will take from anybody. We're taking is not... We're taking from the person that's not really taking away from him. He won't never take from somebody who feels that reluctance where it's an economic deal. If it's an economic deal, he won't do that because the person feels bad. Masha'en Kane, where a person is giving me with such yad rechava, with such joy and with such pleasure, that Avram is happy to take. That Avram is happy to take. And then when Avram gives, it's the same way. He's a total giver. It's an exchange of gifts, which is, means it's an act of Ava, as opposed to taking. It's any act that promotes Ava is not taking. That's a healthy act. So the difference between an economic transaction is an act of taking. An act, when it's an exchange, like Rashi's Kederecha Ohavim, that's a very positive thing, and that's a giving thing because it promotes and develops the relationship. That's the chiluk between Melech Sodom and Mitzrayim. A very clear chiluk. Which now, by the way, now we understand why this had to be foreshadowed by Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course HaKadosh Baruch was going to give the money. It's part of the punishment. The Gamas HaGoya Sheyavodu Don Anoichi, they're surely going to compensate us for the years of slavery. Okay, but they're gonna, it's going to be a compensation. You know how they're going to feel? They're going to be resentful and reluctant, and this, maybe we shouldn't pay the Jews. They were our slaves. Now they're twisting our arms, and now they want compensation. I want to make sure that the king of Egypt is giving me Kederach HaOhavim. And you know what's going to happen? By Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's also going to be an exchange, not of compensation, but an exchange of Ava. How do we know that? Daber no ba'ozne ha'om, mumi v'yishalu ishmeish re'usa. They went and borrowed, and then says, v'yashilum, so Rashi brings, what happened? We asked for silver, what did they give us? Gold. He brings the mechilta. We asked for one
how much did they give us? Two. Is that kederach ha'ohavim, or is that an economic transaction for wages? It's kederach ha'ohavim.
Avram Avinu changed the whole compensation from Egypt, that it wasn't an economic compensation for work. We worked for you, and we appreciate all the work, and now you know what? We're going to give you kederach ha'ohavim. You took my car, here's a $50 tip. That's not kederach. That's not compensation. Compensation, I'm not going to give you twice. You ask for one, it's more than twice, because you ask for one, I give you two. You ask for silver, I give you gold. The difference between two gold and one silver maybe is 100 times the value, or 50 times the value. That's kederach ha'ohavim. What Avraham Avinu wanted to establish here is the relationship is kederach ha'ohavim. Because a person who doesn't do kederach ha'ohavim is a taker. The whole yesod of Avraham Avinu is that the tachlis of the world here is we have to be givers, not takers. The way we deal with the industrial revolution, the economic revolution, the technological revolution, we have a tremendous solution. Our question was, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with this? You're going to deal with the fact that, no, you're really a guest in Hashem's house. Hashem gave me so much ability that doesn't look like it. It seems like it's my house. It's my intelligence, my products, my economic, my industry. It's not coming from the rain. It's not coming. It's a huge problem. The answer is, there's a tremendous solution. Hashem gave us all this ability in order to become givers. In becoming givers, we are imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we're bringing His presence in the world. The more ability man has is the more ability to give. And the more ability to give means the more I can create the presence of Hashem in the world, because the more man can make himself into a giver. You know, a guy who works and has a little bit of money, at the end of the day he gives, puts a couple bucks in the push gift, he has a little, he works 9-to-5 job. Maybe he can drop $10 in the mikveh if he wants. The guy who's in commerce, he can give $1 billion to charity. The more HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man ability means he gave him the more ability to become a bigger level of giver. And the more that man increases his giver, then the more presence of Hashem it's in the world. Because kederach ha'ohavim, to become a giver, a odom godol, to become a giver, is to be a reflection of Hashem. The way we deal after the Mabul, in the post-Mabul world, in the post-Dor HaFloga world, when there's a new technology and there's a new economy, there's a new way to deal with it. It's not the same old way. We have to become greater givers. And by becoming greater givers, there's greater Gilui Kovet Shemayim. The way we make this God's world is not say, it's not going like back to the Amish, you know what, let's throw out all the technology, let's throw out everything modern, and let's start living off the land. The way we do this is to develop all our abilities, all our chokhmah, our intelligence, everything we can do. And what do we do with everything we do? We learn how to, we have now become empowered to give more. The more we give means that we then become the examples and the representatives and the ambassadors and the reflections of Hashem in the world. And therefore, this world becomes God's world, not because just rain is becoming, because everybody that's living there is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Avraham Avinu was Machadish. That's the transition. The difference between Avraham and Noach is not that Noach got out the message and didn't get the message, and Noach's message couldn't work now. And that's what the Dor HaFloga told us. That message can't work. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the world, but it doesn't. It's not a real thing, because I'm living in a world that everything that happens is clear that I'm in control here, or that I have the abilities here. How do I deal? How do I feel good about this? I have to repress myself. I have to become a regressive society. The opposite. Avraham says, no, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. You know what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants? To become a giver. Get involved in giving. Avraham, as to the extent that it's a Muna, he's the Isha Chesed too. Isha Chesed means he becomes a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Noach it is b'dachalte, like the Targum says, it's yira. By Avram it's the joy of giving, of serving, of doing for. That's the Targum. Rashi, the same thing. Noach is a sad. Avram, it's initiative. The initiative is that he becomes godlike. He goes in front of God because he himself becomes godlike. And therefore he goes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole tachlis of the world, Avram's teaching us that the tachlis of the world is that we have to develop our midav chesed so that we can therefore bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. Because when a person becomes a giver, in that a person is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the whole world is based on one principle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a rotzen to be mated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be a giver. The whole world. And as we become givers, that becomes the reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And by the way, anybody that's a giver will never say, Anochi Hasharti Es Avram. Paro couldn't in a million years, because giving means I want you to be independent. When you tell, say, somebody, I made you rich, means I'm in control. A giver wants you to be. HaKadosh Baruch HaTov means I wanted that you should be something. From Paro, you never have to be worried. Anochi Hasharti Es Avram. Anybody that's a giver will never want to say, I did for you. Giver means I want you. That's what giving is. I want to give you something. I want to give you your independence. I want to give you a feeling of your accomplishment. Not that it's my money that you're living off. Anochi Hasharti Es Avram is only shayach by someone who's a taker. Anochi Hasharti Es Avram is taking. That's taking away from Avram. So he becomes wealthy. No, it's really mine. It's really mine. That's what a Melech Sedom is. By someone that's a giver, Kederach HaOhavim, and Oyev will never say, I made you rich. Because the whole idea of an Oyev is, I want you to be rich. I don't want you just to be me. I want to make you into something. That's the Tachlis of the Bria. That's what Avraham Avinu changes in the world. Avraham Avinu gave a whole new message to the world. The Tachlis of the world. And this does not exist in the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. The sense of Chesed does not exist there. It's not an obligation. Because the Zayim Mitzvahs don't work in a society where there's technology, in a society where there's a commerce-based economy. It can't work. I mean, it's not real. It doesn't fill the world. Yeah, I mean, you have to observe it. You can't destroy the world. But it doesn't bring presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ultimate tachas is to bring presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. In a world where it's so clear that it's man's world, the only way it could bring that sense of presence to the world is by making ourselves into givers. Tol tachas. Avraham Avinu's message is Emunah and Chesed. The two are intertwined. One can't exist without the other. In our world, it's not Shaykh that this should become a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world, unless we talk to see people that we see a person that's a Mishum Digi giver. You know, there's godly. You can almost cry when you see an act of Chesed. It brings, because you see there's holiness there. That's bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. That's the change of Avram and Noach. The change of Avram and Noach is not just that he got the message out. The Rishonim are saying clearly not like that. It's a new, he has a new message. The new message is, in the new world, you need a new message. The message is that we have to do everything kederach ha'oyavim. We have to be givers, not takers. Godol means you have to be a baal chesed, akela godol. And giving, why is giving different? Giving is different is because giving is that you are mimicking, imitating, megala, kavod shemayim, you are a reflection of the demus and its tzelem elokim, and therefore that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. That's the tachas of Avram. And therefore, Avram, who brought that message to the world, himself was that, the Odom Godol Banokim, we're saying Odom Godol again, we're saying that's the pshat in the Rashi, but Odom Godol means a giver. He only is a giver. Chas v'shalom, not a taker. He's bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world, and therefore he's part of the nitzchius of the whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael forever and ever. And unfortunately, Noach is not part of that nitzchius. It's a different message. The message is be a giver, and being givers, be galakovet shemayim, and that we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos.